Now, if you think it's easy for Brother Jason to stand up and do what he did this morning, you've never been in that position or not, because it is. You're assuming that it's going to be all right. You're trusting that it's going to be all right. But, you know, I was at home this morning, and I was thinking about preaching today and what the Lord had had me to do, and I just thought about Brother Jason. And when I thought about him there, you know, I thought about him opening up Sunday school, and he doesn't take that lightly. I know that he doesn't. He prays about it. He has some devotional thoughts sometimes to share with us. And so I just thought, well, I'm just going to send him a text message real quick. And I did that, and I just put, just obey, and sent it to him. And I didn't hear anything back. And I thought, he'll probably think I'm crazy. Or he'll probably think, what's he mean by that? But I thought, and I prayed, I said, Lord, just let him take it how you mean it to be. And I guess that's what you meant when you said you'd had confirmation, because we don't usually correspond like that. But I'm glad he just obeyed. And sometimes it helps for some confirmation to come along and encourage you to obey. And so I appreciate that this morning. But I got to reading here in Psalms chapter number 34, and he said in verse number 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And I want to just share something with you today. This is something that was in the, and most of you know, I read the comics faithfully. I get the newspaper. I don't read the newspaper faithfully. I'll look through it, but I read the comics every day. And last year, on the day after Thanksgiving, this comic was in the newspaper. And I liked it so much that I ordered a print of it, and I had it framed. And I've got it hanging in my study over there. But I want to just share with you a little bit about it. I think it's pretty good. It's from a comics named Mutz. And it's got, on the left-hand side over here, it's got Thanksgiving, and it's got a picture of a turkey, and his name's Thomas. And so Thomas the turkey the day after Thanksgiving. And then in the next panel over here, it's got Thomas, and he's standing out in the field, and the sun's coming up in the distance. Now, day after Thanksgiving, he's standing out in the field. Sun's coming up on the horizon. And it's got a little quote above it by a man named Langenhoven. And he was he's from South Africa, and he was born in the late 1800s. And I don't know very much about him other than that. But it says above that, it says, we need to be grateful for many things that did not happen. Old Thomas is standing out in the field day after Thanksgiving. Sun's coming up on the horizon. And he says, we need to be thankful for many things that did not happen. And I like that so much, I ordered a copy of it. And like I said, I've got it hanging in my study over there. But that's what I want to preach on just a few minutes this morning. We need to be thankful for many things that did not happen. And I've thought a whole year about that. You know, I preach a lot of times on things, and we look in the society and see things, you know, and we worry about things and wonder about things. But today and this week, on week of Thanksgiving and going into Christmas, I think it'd help us just if we had a little thought on our mind. We need to be thankful for many things that did not happen. And I'm going to give you three things this morning along those lines, and I hope it'll be a blessing and a help to you. And I've just got a few thoughts. I don't think I'll be very long this morning. But number one, I thought about it like this, thinking about we need to be grateful for many things that did not happen. Number one, there are things that we worried about that never did happen. Boy, right there, we could just stop and shout a while this morning. I mean, because you know how we are as human beings. We worry and we fret and we think about the future and we worry about what's going to happen on tomorrow. But there are things, you and I this morning, all of us together combined, we could stand up and we could testify and we could all say this morning, there are things we worried about that never happened. You know, most of what people worries about anyway, most of what we technically worry about, a specific thing happening, most of those things we worry and fret about don't even happen anyway. But I got to looking in this passage of Scripture, and David, in verse number 4, look what he said down there. He said, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. That was just things he was worried about that never did happen. He said, I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears, all them things that I was worrying about and fretting about. He said, I sought the Lord, I prayed about it, I worried about it. It was my fears that I had, and he delivered me from everything I was worrying about. Well, I got a blessing out of that. It said in the title there in verse number 1, a Psalm of David, when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. And I got to studying about that a little bit. And that's talking about in the time in David's life where he was running from Saul because Saul was trying to kill him. Now, he really had some things that he could legitimately worry about during that time. When David was running from Saul, he was in danger by Saul. He was in danger by these other kings and leaders and rulers. I mean, everywhere that David went, he was sort of a loose cannon. He could, by Abimelech, either be looked at as a blessing or as is David here to cut my head off. Because word of David in that day and time was Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. And David was looked upon as a great warrior. So all these other leaders and military men, you know, when they seen David coming, they would have thought to themselves, I'd better cut off his head before he cuts off my head. And David is out from under the authority in the kingdom of Saul. He's running from Saul here and there. After this, if you study in the next Psalm, I believe it is, or in 1 Samuel chapter number 21, I think chapter 22, is where David ends up in the cave in Adullam. He's got some serious worries in his life. He's got some serious maneuvering that he's got to do. And he said, I sought the Lord and he heard me and he delivered me from all my fears. He's writing later on all them things I was worried about. I was worried about Saul killing me. I was worried about Abimelech killing me. I was worried about being captured. I was worried about this and worried about that. And he said, all them things I worried about, they didn't even come to pass. I'm just afraid of something and I was worrying about something. I read something one time said, worry's like a rocking chair. It keeps you busy but doesn't get you anywhere. And that's how worry is. And I'll tell you, we worry about stuff. I mean, I read things and I keep up with what's going on in society. And there's things all the time that'll say something like this. 20 reasons why the economic failure of America is imminent. I mean, you read some of this stuff out there and you'll think to yourself, well, there's no reason to even get out of the bed in the morning. It's so bad. Things is going to happen and our society is going to crumble all around about us and the grocery store shelves is going to be empty and your dollar's not going to be worth anything and all like that. And I mean, we get worried and consumed about these things, but you know, there's a lot of things we worry about. They never even happen. How many's old enough to remember what Y2K? Remember that? Some of you young people, you probably don't remember what I'm talking about when I say Y2K, but here's what it was. They said about, I guess they got concerned about it about 1998, ancient history, years ago. Some of you young people don't remember, but in 1998, 1999, some of these computer people, they got to thinking, we've made these computers, and they read a date like this. Say my birthday was today, 11/27/69 would have been if my birthday 42 years ago. And so you, everybody, that's how they do their date. But these computer people got to figuring out when the year 2000 rolls around, computers are not going to recognize that it's the year 2000. Computers are going to think that it's the year 1900. And they told us that when them computers think that it's the 1900, that it's going to be like 1900. All the computers are going to fail. Your TV's not going to turn on. People aren't going to get their social security checks. Computers that order things aren't going to know to order groceries for the grocery store. And I'm telling you, people got consumed with January the 1st, 2000. Society as we know it's going to stop. Everything's not going to work. Your cell phone, anything computerized, your car's not going to start. And I'm telling you, people bought groceries and guns and ammunition, and buddy, and I stayed up on that night. I remember I stayed up to about 12:05, and I told Kim, I said, well, the lights didn't go off, we'll just go on to bed and see if the world's still here in the morning. And I'll tell you what, far as I know, everybody's car started, nothing major even happened. I think somebody made that up just to make a bunch of money, and if they did, they're smarter than I am. But I'll tell you, we worry about a lot of things that never happen. You know, and I know there's been a lot of tragedy in this last decade, and I know there's been a lot of natural disasters and things. You know, in this past year there was an earthquake over in Japan, and it caused a tsunami, and the water went into the nuclear reactor plant there. And I've read and read and read about that, and you read some things, and they said, well, they're covering it up how bad it is, and them nuclear reactors are going to melt down, and they said they have melted down, and now there's nuclear fallout headed for America. And I mean, you read some things, you'd think, you'd just wonder today if we'd still be here 6 months from now. But you know what? Here we are today, and if nuclear fallout is falling in the sky right now as we speak, well, it's not too bad, is it? I mean, praise the Lord, I worked outside yesterday and had a good time. You know, we worry about things. A lot of things we worry about never happen. They're just fears. We get concerned about and consumed about this and consumed about that, and we worry about natural disasters. And I went over to Tennessee yesterday, and me and Dad, and we got a load of wood over there. My brother had got it and cut it up and split it for us. Boy, isn't that a blessing? And he said, all you got to do is come and get it. And we went over there. And they've been working over there where that tornado came through last spring. And I'd looked and looked, and I seen it again. And you go by somewhere even today, and you see that there's where a house was. A bunch of junk sitting around where the house used to be. Stoves and old refrigerators and just materials and things. And Dad is showing me one house that a lady went in the basement and the tornado come through, and she stayed down there all night and heard something the next morning and got ready to go upstairs and couldn't even get upstairs. The whole top of her house had blowed off. Something down, and you talk about devastation, and I even remember when that happened, the wind blowing through by our house and me thinking, do I need to go downstairs? Worrying about this. And then after that, every time the wind would blow, people, boy, they begin to pay attention, worry about things. But I'll tell you, yes, a tornado did come through. Yes, it destroyed some houses, but most everybody is all right. Most everybody in any catastrophe is going to be all right. We worry about things that never happen. We worry about getting sick. And Kim came to me a while back, and she said, I want to show you something. And she had Chloe, and she said, look at all these bruises on her. And you know how it is with the parents, you know, anything like that, and all the sickness and blood diseases and cancer and leukemia and all these things. And it just, as a parent, you see something like that in your heart. She said, I just wanted to show you. And I said, well, it's probably nothing. I said, for one thing, she's just like you. I can get run over by a car and I hardly ever get a bruise, and she can bump into the counter and she'll turn black and blue all over. I said, hopefully she's just got that from you. And I said, number two, she's as rough as a football player. You better watch yourself around her. She'll bruise you. I mean, she's tearing through the house in the middle of the night, running, tripping, falling, just like any normal three-year-old. But I'll tell you, we see something like that and we automatically begin to worry. Begin to worry, and that's several months ago, and you know, we even forgot about it, I'm sure, but that's how we are. We think about things, we worry about things, and most things we worry about never happen. They're just fears. They're just fears. And I say, first of all, this morning, there are things we worry about that never happen. We worry about getting sick. We worry about somebody dying. We worry about going on a trip and not making it. We worry about past few days, all the deer I've seen beside the road. I've worried about hitting a deer. But I've not done that yet. Most things we worry about, there's things we worried about that never happen. Second of all, this morning, let me show you something in Psalms 34. There are things we worry about. They happen, but we find that grace happens with them. Look what he said. Look what David said in verse number 6. Now in verse number 4, he said, he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. That's what he was worried about that didn't happen. But in verse number 6, he said, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. There are some things that did happen in David's life. There are some troubles that did come along in David's life. But when the trouble came along in his life, notice it said there in verse number 6, it didn't say the Lord saved him from all of his troubles. It said the Lord saved him out of all of his troubles. Out of all of his troubles. It's not that troubles did not come. Troubles did come in his life, and God saved him out of all of his troubles. Yes, David was on the run from Saul. And I'm sure that David spent many nights laid up in that cave wondering if he'd see the sun come up in the morning, you know, like old Thomas the turkey there. And old David had been promised years and years and years ago. He had been anointed to be the king over Israel. And I'm sure David thought to himself, I don't see how that's ever going to happen. I don't see how that's ever going to happen. I'm too young. Saul don't like me. Saul run me out of the family. I'm on the run. The kingdom is all in a mess. How is that ever going to come? Here I am hiding. I'm supposed to be the king. But I'll tell you, there's a God in heaven. Knew he was in trouble and knew where he was. And met him there and gave him grace. And you know what? While he was hiding in the cave and while he was running from Abimelech, do you know what? There was a God in heaven that put a song in his heart. He said, the Lord's delivered me from all my troubles. My praise is continually going to be on his praise is going to be on in my mouth at all time. He said, I'm going to praise God anyway. Yes, I'm in trouble, but the grace of God's sufficient. Trouble's going to come in our lives. That you're not going to get out of trouble in this life. Brother Jason mentioned the book of Job. Job said in 14:1, he said over there, he said, man that is born of woman is few days and full of trouble. You're going to have trouble in this life. You're going to get bad news in this life. Bad things do happen to God's people. Do you realize how many places there are in this world that you can get bad news from? A lot of you's got bad news down at the doctor's office. Sister Donna testified this morning. I'm glad she's here. Bless her heart. We've been praying for her. And you know, I'm sure when she found out what she had, you know what would have been my first reaction? I'd have thought, am I going to be disabled? Am I going to be in a how long am I going to have? And you know what? How bad is this? That's how I would be. I'd be thinking to myself, you know, how quickly and how much time and all these things. But here, what's it been? A year or maybe even 2 years or been 3 years? She walked in here this morning, testified, praising God. You know what? God's grace is good in trouble. God can take trouble and make it a blessing. In your life, in somebody else's life, trouble comes. You get bad news at the doctor's office. You get bad news at work. I thought about Brother Jason and surrendering to preach, and I'm telling you, it's no amount of time. He's lost his job. Trouble. God knows what he's doing. While he is preaching, I thought about when he mentioned our trouble that we've had. Well, while he's preaching, I thought about, you know, Brother Bill, as long as I've known him, he's eat right, exercise, done everything good. I mean, if you're blessed to go eat at their house, you're going to get some of the best. I mean, they don't live on junk food. And here he up and got sick. Struggled with that. You know, Lord, what are you doing? Here's the preachers and Brother Bradley got married all in the same year. Boy, you talk about putting stress on. He's not here this morning. They might be on fighting. I don't know. I hope not. But I'll tell you, you talk about an adjustment in your life. You're going to have an adjustment when you get married. But, amen, it's a blessing. But you see what I'm saying this morning? We're going to have trouble in our lives. You get bad news at the doctor, you get bad news. I'll tell you a little story, and I'll hurry on this morning. Through all of our stuff we've had in the past couple of years, our taxes has been all messed up, and we've been trying to get everything straightened out, and we didn't get filed in April last year. And our CPA, she said, don't worry about it. I filed an extension. I don't think you're going to owe anything. Don't worry about it. And Kim, now me, I told Kim, I said, if I didn't have you, I said, I would take the mailbox and I'd drill a hole in the bottom of it, and I'd put a trash can underneath the thing. But praise God, God gave me a good wife, and she worries about that stuff, and she keeps on top of it and makes sure, you know, what a blessing she is in my life. And she'd say several times throughout the summer, she said, I need to call over there. She'd say, I hope we don't owe anything. She knows what she's doing. And it went on and on, and months went by, and finally, a couple of months ago, this is probably in August, she calls and she said, got your taxes ready. You want me to mail them or you want to come and get them? And so we said, we'll come get them. Might have a question. And so Kim, she's had this in her mind, you know, that because of everything, we wouldn't owe anything or eat very much at all. And we go over there, and we wasn't in there just a minute, and I let her out to go in. I went and parked the car, and I came in, and when I come around the corner, I could tell it was bad news. It's one of them six-figure numbers, but I'm counting the zeros too. And I could just see Kim's countenance, buddy. I knew it was bad news. You're going to owe. And not only do you owe, but you owe right now this much. And come January, you're going to owe this much. And we talked to her a few minutes there and figured around, you know, and she did something different, brought it down. I don't know, didn't even matter. It's like $500 or something like that. But I'll tell you, we win. And don't think you're not going to have trouble in this life. And so Kim, she had, bless her heart, she had worked up at the consignment. And she had made some money. She had plans for it. Thanksgiving coming up, Christmas coming up. This is months ago. And she had that money, and that was hers. And she came and she said, I'm just going to send it. Just going to send it. And she did. Boy, you talk about feeling bad as a husband. Wished I'd had it. She sent it. And she worked again. I said, what about coming up in January? And she said, well, just anything, we'll save and we'll put it back. And I don't know how we're going to get it, but make a long story short, we've got it. We've got it. Well, you talk about a knife in your heart knowing where we've got to send it, but praise God, we've got it. Yeah. Don't think you're not going to have trouble. Let me tell you, when needs come up, when troubles come up in our lives, don't you think there's not a God in heaven that knows what we need, knows when we need it, knows how to get it to us? Hey, man, God's good. There are things that we worry about that never happen. There are things that happen, but we find that when they happen, there's the grace of God in our lives. I remember back several years ago when it's just my dad's an only child, and it's me and my brother. And our grandparents, daddy's parents. We'd worried for years, what are we going to do if they get sick? What are we going to do if they get where they can't? And I know many, many families, they go through the same things. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? And we worry about these things. And you know what I've found is a lot of times we waste a lot of energy worrying about something that God's already got figured out. God's not going to show you 10 years ahead what He's got planned, but just trust Him and you can be happy. God knows. God knows. Grace is there. It'd be good if we could be like David. I will praise the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I'm just going to praise God anyway. Anyhow. It's going to be all right. And last of all, I'll show you something in verse number 7. There are things, listen to me, there are things that you and I in this past year, we never worried about at all. It never entered our mind. We never thought about it. There are things that we never worried about, but the enemy tried to get you. The devil tried to trip you up and you didn't even know anything about it. But God knew about it. And God didn't let him. Look here in verse number 7 what David said. He said, "The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him and delivereth them." Boy, I like that. How many of you have ever seen with your eyes the angel of the Lord? I haven't. Has anybody seen the angel of the Lord? Please don't raise your hand. You go to some churches, everybody, I seen Jesus last night. It's on a cereal box. I got a picture on my cell phone. I mean, we live in a messed up society. Do you know what I'm talking about this morning? I've never seen the angel of the Lord, but you know what? He's there. He's there. Don't you think God doesn't watch out for us? I'll tell you one of my favorite things, one of my favorite stories I remember from childhood is one of the preachers and daddy. He's told it over and over again because he remembered it and I remember it. But he said, a preacher years ago said, maybe it's something like this. You're going down the road. You don't know anything about it. But I'll tell you, the devil's there and he's lighting a match. And he's going to blow you up. But every time he lights that match, there's the angel of the Lord there and he blows it out. You're going down the road and you don't even know. You wake up one morning, you feel something in your body and it's not right. And there's a fleeting thought across and you say, "Lord, I don't feel right. Lord, help me." What you don't know and you may never know till you get to heaven is how many times God's touched you. And you didn't even know you're sick. You say, "But preacher, I'm sick here today." Yeah, but you don't know. The devil may have tried to kill you 30 years ago and God didn't let him. God said, "Nope, not done with him. Nope, you're not going to have..." I read over there this morning in Job that the devil came before God and he said, "The only reason Job loves you is because you blessed him so much." And God said, "Go ahead. Go ahead. We'll see. We'll see if Job's real or not." And he went and he destroyed his family and his finances and everything else. And the devil came before God again. And he said, "The only reason is because he's still got his health." And God said, "You've got his skin, but you can't touch his life." You see what I'm saying this morning? God, everything that happens in our life has to come across God's desk. And if God says no, there ain't nothing the devil can do about it. And if God says yes, although we may think that it's killing us, God's got a purpose. God blessed Job more in the end than he did in the beginning. I've heard people throw off on that and say, "Well, that wasn't fair to Job." Just if you ever make it to heaven, talk to Job about it. I guarantee you Job will be all right with it. Job will be all right with it. Because God's people see things different than the way the world sees things. And so there's things that we never think about. How the devil tries to hurt us and ruin us and all of these things. You know what? I've thought many times down through the years. I remember as a young preacher thinking about all the opposition to the gospel. And I remember thinking to myself, I'll be in jail for the years out. I remember when Bill Clinton got in office, no Hillary. I preached a message one time on the demonic duo. I sort of wish that she would run for president just so I could preach that message again, buddy. You talk about two wicked people, but I've been preaching this way a long time now. And I have just as much liberty sometimes as I ever had. And I'll tell you, if the devil could shut up the churches and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and the radio stations and all the good that's done for God, he'd do it. But there's a God in heaven that says, no, we're going to keep that door open just a little bit longer. And it might close tomorrow, but you know what? It didn't close yesterday. And here we are in church this morning, praising God, thanking God, obeying God, not only listening to one message, but two messages. Boy, I'm telling you, God's people's got it good. Sing and praise God if we wanted to. I got to thinking about that. I got to think about, do you really need to preach a Thanksgiving message? We ought to be so thankful to God for what he's done for us, that when we come to church together, it ought to be a problem to get people to be quiet long enough just to preach a little message. We ought to come in praising God, life, health, strength, blessings, liberty, salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. All these things out here, I'll tell you, riches make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle towards heaven. But I'll tell you what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. The devil can't take it away. God can't, the world can't rob it from us. If you're here today and you're lost, the devil would like to kill you. Here you are. Here you are. You got one more opportunity to hear the saving grace, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. One more, just as I am. One more breath of life to come. I was talking to a man. I met a man in one of the services I preached in a while back. He is a blessing. He's sitting right up on the front row. He wasn't a preacher or anything like that, but I'm telling you, he was enjoying his salvation. And I got to talking to him afterwards. He's probably, I'm going to say he's retired. He's probably 65, maybe a little older. But he told me up there, he talked to me just like he loved me. And he'd heard me preach somewhere else, and he's talking to me, and he said, I've just been saved. I got saved in 2001. Grown, retired man. Boy, he realized what God had. He said, you know what? He said, God dealt with me once when I was young, but I said no. He said, I wasn't raised in church. He said, I never felt the call of God's spirit on my life again. I told God no. I didn't go to church. I didn't have any godly influence in my life. He said, but somebody in my family died, and I went over to visit some of my family, and they said, why don't you go to church with us? And he went, and he told me about how the Holy Ghost of God got a hold of him, saved him. I'll tell you, put him on the front row. And he said, I could have died all them years. I could have died. He said, but God kept me until I come to the place and God convicted me one more time. He said, boy, I'm glad I got in. I said, I'm glad you got in too. What's your name? I don't even know you. And what a blessing. God is good. God's mercy endures forever. David said his praise is going to continually be in my mouth. But I'd start telling you, you know, I thought to myself, should we even have to preach? I'm glad I don't have to preach a Thanksgiving message. If we're really honest before God, we'll see. We ought to be thankful every day. But I think it is good to be reminded from time to time. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed.